It's Saturday morning and time for the Coaches Show, an in-depth look at high school sports with the coaches and players behind the headlines on News Radio KWOS 950 and 104.5. Here's Missouri Hall of Fame sportscaster Kevin Kelly.
Good morning and welcome to the Coaches Show. Let's head down to Augusta, Georgia. It's the 84th Masters, and joining us is John Boyette, who's the executive editor of the Aiken Standard newspaper in Aiken, South Carolina. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
It's early, but we got golf going on this morning. It's an exciting day.
I know there's still 48 players that need to complete the second round this morning, aren't there?
Yep. Looks like John Rahm has moved into a tie for the lead already, so it's going to be quite a weekend, I think.
They had a delay on Thursday of a couple hours. That's what's moved everything back. Will they get caught up today?
I think so. I think they'll be done with this round around 9:30-ish this morning, and then they'll repair the groups, and I presume they'll send them out in threes, maybe. It depends on how many people make the cut, and get this thing in by 5:30 tonight.
We always talk to you on the Saturday in April when they hold the Masters. Obviously, due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the tournament was moved from April to November. How's it different from your perspective?
There are a lot of people concerned about the weather and, maybe being cold and that kind of thing. And, really, we had unseasonably warm weather here in Augusta this week. We had highs in the 80s a few days. The weather forecast for rain was really awful. If you looked at the forecast early in the week, there was 4 or 5 days starting Wednesday with solid rain, and that didn't really materialize. And just that one hiccup on Thursday morning, and I think we're going to be good to go.
John, no galleries, obviously, for the tournament this year. It's been quiet around the golf course, and it's been noticed by the players, hasn't it?
Yeah, really. I mean, I think some players, they really want to feed on the, the energy. And, but at the end of the day, they're still got to hit the golf shots. And, it's the golf course is playing a lot softer than it normally would.
That's because of the rain earlier in the week, right?
Yep, absolutely.
How have the greens changed because of the weather?
I don't think they really got as fast and firm as you would see them in a normal April. And I think that's sort of been the receptive to the scoring. I mean, I think if they keep playing like this, I think there's a good chance you could see somebody, threaten the all-time record, which is 18 under for the total.
And I think someone said last night that the first round was the lowest first round scoring average in Masters history.
Yeah, I didn't get all the details on that, but that's right. I mean, it was just if you didn't go low, like Rory McIlroy really shot himself in the foot, that first round where he shot 75, and he must have felt like he was shooting 100 the way everybody was shooting 65s and 66s.
As they start play this morning, I think there are 49 players that are one under or better. Is that the best that they've ever had? I mean, you still have a couple out on the course that are around even and plus one, so they could go under par as well. Is this the most under par at the cut line?
I think it is. I think it's right in line to be a record, Kevin. It's they changed the cut rule earlier this week to eliminate anybody within 10 shots of the lead. So they're still taking the low 50 in ties, but that'll be interesting to see how it shakes out.
John, we talked about the fact that there are no galleries at the tournament this year, but you take a look at it, and I think it's actually an opportunity for everyone to see the beauty of the golf course even more than normal.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I mean, selfishly, from my standpoint, I'm able to go out on the course and get right up on the tee boxes and see the golf pretty up close. But I think you're getting to see that on TV with the drone shots and the vistas that they're showing. I mean, it's just how wide open Augusta National really is.
Very tight leaderboard right now, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think Masters tournament officials, they've got to be doing backflips. You got Dustin Johnson, John Rahm, Justin Thomas. Three of the top players in the world up near the lead. Tiger Woods had a good first day. He's kind of treading water today, but Phil Mickelson's under par. Bernhard Langer. Some of those older guys, they really still can play.
Let's talk about Bernhard Langer, because right now at 3 under par, he'll be the oldest player to ever make a Masters cut. Congratulations to him.
Yeah, and if you're looking at what he's sitting into some of these par fours, he's hitting woods and hybrids and but you know, it's just a testament to his, you know, his work ethic and his fitness regimen, and you know, he knows how to get around this golf course. You know, I'm not surprised at all.
You know, two guys at the top of the leaderboard after yesterday at 9 under par are Abraham Anser from Mexico and Cameron Smith from Australia. Maybe golf fans don't know a lot about those two.
No, I mean, they've both been solid players here in recent years. I mean, I think they both had some decent finishes in other major championships. So, you know, it's good to, you know, to spread the game internationally. And, you know, Australia's got a strong history at the Masters with, you know, guys, you know, Adam Scott obviously winning it, and they had a lot of guys like Greg Norman and, you know, Jason Day who come close through the year. So it's, you know, Mexico's history at the Masters a little weaker, but you know, that'd be a well received champion.
How many Masters have you covered now, John?
This is number 33, Kevin. So it's you know, it's definitely the most unusual one I've been to in terms of, you know, the date and the lack of patrons and all that stuff. But you know, I feel fortunate to be here. You know, they cut down the number of media on site, you know, pretty severely, probably, you know, a quarter of what they would normally have in the media center. But they've done a really good job with all the social distancing and making you wear your mask and, you know, the efforts to, you know, prevent the stop of coronavirus.
And that's 33 that you've covered as a reporter. You worked there before that, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, the first one I came to when I was a little boy living in Aiken across the river from Augusta, I came when I was 8 years old in 1974. And then when I was in college, they had a deal for the USC Aiken golf team to come over and work on the leaderboard. So I worked on number 6 leaderboard for 2 years, and that was a really, really neat experience.
Who won in 1974? Was it Gary Player?
Gary Player got his second Masters win.
All right, moving day is Saturday. What are you expecting?
I think we're going to see more of the same. I think we're going to have an exciting day. I think we're going to have a lot of birdies and eagles. And, you know, I don't get a sense that they're going to, you know, toughen the course up. I think it'll be receptive to scoring. And, you know, who is going to come out of that pack, I guess, is the question. You know, who's down there, you know, 4, 5, 6 under? You know, Brooks Koepka, you know, keep an eye on him. He's 5 under right now. You know, Ricky Fowler having one of his better tournaments in recent memory. You know, Mark Leishman, you know, Xander Schauffele, those guys. I mean, I think they're going to go out and put a little fire in the course early.
Yeah, you may see a situation tomorrow as they start the back nine that there may be 12, 15 players that have a shot.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it right now, I'm just looking at the leaderboard, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, you know, we've got 13 guys within 2 shots of the lead, so you're absolutely right.
You know, every year you do stories that are unique as far as the Masters are concerned. Do you have one this year?
You know, I tried to do a couple of things. Yesterday was Friday the 13th, and you can get all of our copy at AikenStandard.com. But, you know, I sort of did a little fun look, and you know, only 3 times in Masters history have we had a Friday the 13th.
Wow.
The first was 1979, which is the year Fuzzy Zeller won, in 1984. And Miller Barber actually shot a 64 in 1979 on Friday the 13th. But, you know, so, but yeah, you know, yesterday, I think, you know, probably the worst Friday the 13th experience yesterday was Bryson DeChambeau losing his golf ball on number 3 and wound up taking a triple bogey.
What happened on that? Because he didn't hit it that far. I don't even think he hit it out of bounds, did he?
No, there's no out of bounds on that hole, Kevin. I think it's just he tried to drive the green. It's a short par 4 of about 350 yards. He pulled it left, and I think the ball just plugged, and they never found it.
Wow.
Obviously, so I think that was just, you know, the ground over there in some areas is just really soft, and it was unfortunate, but, you know, that's the hazard you take.
John, real quick, amateur is playing very well at the Masters this year, isn't he?
Yeah, that Augustine kid, he's really impressed me. I mean, I saw him play some yesterday afternoon and looked like he's doing really well. So, you know, they love amateurs around here with Bobby Jones and his tradition. And, you know, I don't expect that he'll win, but it'd be nice to see him get a good finish.
All right, John, who's going to win?
You know, you got to look at Dustin Johnson. I mean, he's number one in the world. You know, he's got all the tools for this place. So, you know, you got to figure he's going to wear a green jacket sometime, so why not this year?
You do a great job as far as keeping everyone up to date, not only on your website, but with your newspaper as well. How can people go? Where do they need to go to get information that you guys are covering?
We have our website. It's AikenStandard.com. And myself and our sports writer, Kyle Dawson, we're filing stories. And, you know, we're trying to cover the local guy, Kevin Kisner. And we'll also have other features. Like today I had a story setting up the TV coverage for the weekend. They've got some drones that they'll have out here. And the College Game Day will be on the air in about 45 minutes from the par 3 course. So I'm looking forward to seeing that.
John, I know you're busy. We appreciate your time so much this morning, and have a great rest of the Masters.
Kevin, you got it, and I look forward to talking to you in April.
All right. Thanks very much, John. John Boyette, the executive editor of the Aiken Standard newspaper in Aiken, South Carolina. Again, 48 players still on the course to complete the second round. Third round will start after they get done. Right now, again, with players still out on the course after yesterday's play suspended, there were 49 players that were one under par or better. That's more than half of the field. It's the 84th Masters at Augusta, Georgia. And we're back with more after the break. It's the Coaches Show on KWOS.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Now is the time to prepare the money you've saved in your 401k or deferred comp plan to work for you for the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Let Greg help make your retirement everything you imagined. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Surfing the net to help you prepare for parenthood is overwhelming. Not when you visit the virtual Midmo Baby Expo presented by Boone Hospital Center. It's all local businesses who can make bringing up baby easier. This month, enter to win a basket of goodies from Missouri Vein Care, a diaper bag from Culligan, a prenatal massage from Compass Chiropractic, a gift card from Bump Boutique, a baby coach bundle, and a maternity session from Carly Button Photography. Sign up today at MidmoBabyExpo.com.
Get ready for SEC football. Saturdays in Columbia, Missouri will look different than ever before. Your support during this time is needed now more than ever. A Southeastern Conference-only schedule. It's the cream of the crop. It's SEC football at Faurot Field. To support your Tigers, contact the Tiger Scholarship Fund. Call 1-800-CAT-PAWS or visit tsfmizzou.com. M-I-Z.
Trying to find a local restaurant with good fried chicken can be like trying to pull a trick play in football. You cross your fingers and hope for the best. We're fortunate to have Nick's Family Restaurant, featuring family-style food and, seriously, the best fried chicken. Check their Facebook page to see what people are ordering and saying. Locals recommend to pick Nick's and the tailgater chicken specials and the sides like mashed potatoes and green beans. Introduce your family to their family at Nick's Family Restaurant, Village Square on East McCarty in Jeff City.
Hi, this is Tanner Kimna with Kimna Collision Repair. We have been working with Zimmer Communications for years now. The creative team is amazing. We have realized from using Zimmer Communications, obviously increased customer traffic, brand recognition out in the public. I think they do a great job getting businesses' names out there. I'm very happy that we made the choice we did.
When you're ready to grow your business, contact Zimmer Communications at ZimmerCommunications.com.
The Hawthorne Bank family has always been our financial foundation.
Customers share how Hawthorne Bank's Jeff Carr can offer peace of mind advice.
I had some interruption in my revenue cycle. I went from having a very panicked phone call to Jeff to about 5 minutes later being totally at ease.
I was very overwhelmed. He made the process so much easier. He kind of took that fear away.
Life happens. You just try to be the calm voice in good and bad.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC. Hawthorne Bank.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back. District football titles last night for the Blair Oaks Falcons and the Helias Crusaders. Last night at Ray Hinches Stadium, Helias defeated Warrensburg by a score of 49-14. And at the Falcon Athletic Complex, the Blair Oaks Falcons 60, the Centralia Panthers 14. We will be joined in the second half hour by Helias Crusaders head football coach Chris Hinches, as well as Blair Oaks Falcons head football coach Ted LePage. All right, a state semifinal soccer game in the capital city this afternoon. Joining us is Jefferson City Jays soccer coach Scott Blake. You will take on St. Dominic. Ought to be a heck of a game.
Yes, sir. Good morning to you. Hey, if I can, you know, it's just a little different waking up this morning and being a state semifinalist, you know, here starting the Final Four. I think I could kind of get used to this. It's been a great morning. Also, thank you, Kevin, for having us on and all the coaches on to, you know, talk about our players and give credit to our players and our teams and all the hard work that they're putting on the field. We really appreciate it. Yeah, we're just excited for the moment to be playing this at this point in the season, and excited that we've been able to extend our season and extend our time together. So, you know, we earned another game this week, and that's kind of where we're trying to focus. We've spent a couple of days of embracing the moment and the magnitude of the game and the history of going back to another Final Four. Now today we're going to try to reduce that down. Bring that back down, narrow it if we can to the game. Ultimately, that's what the players need to do is go and play their best and do what they've been doing all year long. And I think they'll step up today and do that. You know, it's historic because you normally have a St. Louis weekend for the Final Four, and here we are due to COVID having the opportunity to host a match. So it's a massive, massive advantage for us, we think. We hope the rain holds off today. We already have a time change. We moved it from 5 p.m. to 2 p.m. today, hoping that the weather window would be a little more promising.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure everybody was aware of that because it was originally scheduled for 5, and they did move it to 2 o'clock. You know, you talked about the St. Louis Final Four. You've got Jackson, Park Hill, Jefferson City, and St. Dominic. St. Dominic up in the St. Charles area. But again, you've got Jackson, Park Hill, and Jefferson City. So a new look to the Final Four, if you will.
You know, it doesn't happen very often that you have a public school, much less three public schools, in the Final Four. So, you know, it's just, I think what it shows is that, you know, the idea of why not us? Obviously, other schools are able to get in deep and, you know, why not us? I think it's credit to how the game is growing in Missouri. You know, once upon a time, private parochial schools were the best, the top-notch teams in the state repeatedly, and the game has grown, it's rooted. You're seeing more and more public schools that are putting out quality programs, and we're super proud to be part of the Final Four. We're really super excited that our boys are getting to play on this stage. You know, we've tried to kind of process the amount of support that we've gotten to get back to a Final Four, and we really thank all our supporters and Jay alums that have kind of come out and given these guys a boost. This Final Four has really been great for our program in connecting classes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got guys from the 90s that have come back and spoken to our boys, and what a blessing that is to have boys in 2020 talking to adults about their experiences and common experiences. So we're just super fired up to be here, and you know, anything can happen. We're there, and you're one game away from a state title.
All right, St. Dominic is 22-1 on the season. Jefferson City is 25-2. The Crusaders have 22 wins, 13 shutouts, allowed only one goal in 9 other games. Jefferson City with 25 wins, 19 shutouts, allowed only one goal in 5 other games, and the Jays have given up just 11 goals all season. It'll be tough to score today,
definitely.
Isn't it?
But we're very alike. You know, it's kind of interesting. It's you know, as we talked about scouting, and we put eyes on them and tried to process St. Dominic and what they're going to bring, but also think about our game plan. They're very much like we are. I would say both teams use their defense to set up their offense. They're very stable squads. They're very able to get behind the ball and also able to get out in transition and score. So we know that the name of the game for us is to neutralize their weapons. But then the second question that we are asking ourselves, and we can ask it more often than we have before in other years, is how can we press them? How can we get them in transition? There's oftentimes where in some years we're talking about neutralizing weapons, but we really may not be in a position to get back to the other end of the field. So this team has that ability, and So we are focused on neutralizing some weapons and also have a transition plan to be able to try to counter them. I think the keys for us in a state semifinal is to expect the unexpected. And so our staff is going to be ready from a perspective of lineup changes and dealing with a potential injury something that may come up. You know, it's inevitable that in a tight game like that, something is going to come up that we may not have expected, and so we're trying to expect the unexpected. And then the other thing is sometimes you got to take what you get, not what you want. Mm-hmm. And so in a state semifinal, the game happens so fast. You know, you might be a right-footed player, but the ball might be on your left foot. And so do you try to take it to your right, or you just hit it with your left? Our boys have to be ready to play a little bit earlier. You know, goals are at a premium. Chances are reduced drastically as you get into a Final Four. And I think our boys are prepped and ready, and we'll be excited to play today.
Coach, we've talked an awful lot about shutouts, and rightly so because of the number of shutouts that you've had this year. But you've also have three players with 20 or more goals this year.
We do. You know, it's an interesting season. You know, again, you know, to have a team that can defend and attack, that's pretty special. We're going to need to do that today. I think that, you know, those records and everything previous, although they are all just practice for this moment, that's us. That's our identity. And so when the Jays hit the field today, we are going to be us. We're not going to change a lot. What we do is going to have to be at a higher level, no doubt. You know, when we defend, we're going to have to have our spacing right. We're going to have to communicate. When we go forward, we're going to have to play just a little quicker, a little faster, a little crisper passes. You know, everybody's just got to be a little sharper. But, you know, we're confident that we're going to have our moments. If we defend, we are going to have our moments.
Two of the top three teams in the state in the media poll are playing today. Number one, St. Dominic. Number three, Jefferson City. About a minute before we have to take our break, what's your number one key today?
Number one key is just, I really believe, is the mindset. You know, it's a, you know, we're already past what we did last season. So I think we've spent a lot of time, again, processing what it means to now set new goals. You know, before it was, hey, let's go to the Final Four. Now you're at the Final Four. Can you refocus yourself and get mentally prepared to now with the opportunity to play for a state title? And I think just processing the magnitude of this game, as the day goes on, we have to take this support and re-energize ourselves. But then we have to narrow it down to, this is a game. I have a job to do. This is my position. This is what we're trying to achieve tactically. So I think the number one key is to just really have a positive mindset and to just play the game. And I think this group of guys has done that all year long, and I have no doubt they're going to step up today.
Coach, thanks for the visit. Good luck today.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Appreciate you.
All right, Jefferson City Jays head soccer coach Scott Blake once again at 2 o'clock at the 179 Soccer Park, Eddie Horn Field. It will be Jefferson City against St. Dominic. Once again, St. Dominic, the Crusaders are 22-1 on the season. The Jefferson City Jays are 25-2. Also at 2 o'clock in the other semifinal game, it will be Jackson 17-3 against Park Hill. Park Hill is 16-9. Back with more after the break.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Join me weekdays for This Morning, America's First News. Hear the stories you'll be talking about all day as we go beyond the headlines and above the chatter with your first look at breaking news, money, politics, technology, entertainment, entrepreneurship, and sports. We explain why stories matter. Join us weekdays for This Morning, America's First News.
Jefferson City's First News, 4 till 6 a.m. before the Morning News Watch on KWOS.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Now is the time to prepare the money you've saved in your 401k or deferred comp plan to work for you for the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Let Greg help make your retirement everything you imagined. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
the KWOS Coaches Show.
District title games across the state in Class 4 last night. Here are your final scores. Festus beat North County 27-6. It was Hannibal over Moberly 48-13. West Plains beat Carl Junction 41-26. Grandview over Lincoln College Prep 14-3. And Smithville shut out Kearney 43-0. At Ray Hinches Stadium, a district title for the Helias Crusaders as they defeat the Warrensburg Tigers last night. The final score 49-14. Quickly, there are two games still to be played today up in the St. Louis area involving teams in Class 4. Union is at John Burroughs. St. Dominic is at MICDS. As I mentioned, Helias wins by a score of 49-14. Joining us is Crusaders head football coach Chris Hinches. Congratulations, coach.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right, before we dive into the details, your overall thoughts of the ball game last night?
I thought we played very well. Very reminiscent of last week, where we got stops and we got up on them early, scored in every possession in the first half, and really took them out of their basic game plan and made them play catch up. We put them in must-pass situations, and gosh, what can you say? Four interceptions last night in the first half, capitalizing off all four of them. Allowed us to stretch the lead and take control of the game early.
And you beat a good football team last night. We talked about this earlier in the week, that there were several similarities between these two football teams.
Yeah, and they were a big physical team. I think they were larger than us up front. They had a very athletic quarterback. I think he'd only thrown two interceptions up to that point all season.
Right.
But we were able to get pressure on him and make him uncomfortable, and our DBs did a great job of, playing the ball in the air and playing the old tip drill, and it was just a dominating performance last night, I thought, by the Crusaders.
They took the opening kickoff and started to drive from their own 15-yard line, tried a fake punt, and came up about a yard and a half shy, and you got the ball first and 10 at the Tiger 36-yard line.
Yeah, and we were able to run that one right down. We wanted to establish the run and see how they were going to align to our formation. They were a team that had played multiple fronts throughout the year, so we wanted to kind of get a feel of what they were doing up front. We knew what the back end coverage was most likely going to look like, but we were able to, do some things in the run game. They played that robber covers, which we call that free safety came down to about 7 yards, and he spied Jake all night long, which is a good defensive game plan, really. In that, because we rely so much on Jake as a part of our run game. So they did a pretty good job of eliminating the big play in the run. But we were able to get that necessary, 4 or 5 yards and just move the chains, on down and, do a little misdirection. And, our first two touchdowns, really our first three touchdowns, were all pretty much ground based. And that was great to be able to get that going.
The fake punt, did that surprise you? Obviously, it didn't. You
it
stopped
did.
Him short.
It did. Yeah, that was a little surprising. A gamble early. I guess they felt they needed to do that to keep momentum. I mean, they were the ones that won the toss and took the ball. So I think they felt there was a certain urgency of getting some points on the board early to get a lead in the game and keep their kids believing, that this was going to be a game they were going to win. And I won't say it was a desperate call, but it was a gutsy call. It was a gutsy call, and we made the stop, and we capitalized on it.
I think Carolina did that against the Kansas City Chiefs Sunday, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yep.
And they got close to getting it, but, our punt return team recovered enough to get the stop.
Basically, the first half played almost entirely on the Warrensburg Tiger side of the 50-yard line.
Yeah, it was, because our interceptions, our first interception, Drew Higgins, makes a fantastic interception and has a great run back. And so, we've got a short field, and, we played on short fields the entire first half, which is great. And that's a testament to our defense. Not just the turnovers, but, the kicking game, being able to pin them deep when we did, kick off, we pinned them deep, we kept them pinned. And play on their side of the field for the whole first half.
Boy, a couple of interceptions and nice returns. Drew Higgins had the first pick, and he sent it all the way back down to the Warrensburg Tiger 22-yard line. Ryan Clark had a couple of picks for you and an interception as well by Alec Barchinski. The tip drill, it went off the hands of the tight end over the middle of the field, and he dives and gets the interception.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've had four interceptions in one game. That was great to see that. And, Ryan had two interceptions and had a nice touchdown run as well on our second drive. You know, we ran like a little zone. It's kind of a zone read where we have the option to give it to our running back inside, but also Jake's got the option to keep it outside the back, you know, with the lead blocker. And he read it well, and, you know, going back and watching it this morning, we blocked it very well, and Ryan hit the hole and scored our second touchdown.
Boy, you had a huge second quarter. You scored 35 points. In fact, the first seven offensive possessions of the night, you put seven touchdowns on the board.
Yeah, that was great. And we really opened it up in the second quarter, you know, not just with the turnovers, but with big plays. You know, we were able to kind of, as we established the run early in the first quarter, in the second quarter, we got them so conscious of the box that we were able to get the one-on-one matchups on the outside and take advantage of those. You know, Cole Stumpy was a big part of that. Damon Johans was a big part of that. They were flowing so hard to the football in our sprint outs and our toss sweeps. We had a couple of good little throwback plays to Damon, one for a touchdown, and one was, you know, the other one was a fantastic catch that put us down inside the five in scoring position. But, you know, those were just, you know, compliment plays to take advantage of a really quick pursuing football team.
You know, that touchdown pass that you mentioned just a moment ago from Jacob Weaver to Damon Johans, 24-yard touchdown pass. It's a drive that ended up being 88 yards in six plays. It gave you a three-touchdown lead at 21-7. Perfectly thrown ball and a nice catch over the shoulder by Damon Johans.
Yeah, and that's something we work on. And we've run that play several times through the years. But we just call it a Y throwback. You know, Damon is our Y receiver. And again, you get a team that's flowing with sprint out or flowing with speed option, and you just hesitate. Let the defense just kind of flow because they think it's sprint out right. And Damon just does a good job of hesitation and a nice little drag out the back door. And it was wide open, and Jake put it on the money.
You know, Cole Stumpy caught a 45-yard touchdown pass, and he was wide open. And people kind of look at that and say, how could he be so wide open? But it's when you give them a different look, and they're caught off guard.
Yeah, and that was a little what we call a little surf route. It's just an inside or slot fade, basically. And Cole does a really good job. You know, what we're trying to do there is really eat up the defensive back's cushion, make him uncomfortable, and then just kind of work with out to the numbers. And, you know, and Cole is really fast, and he's explosive out of his cuts. And we really felt that we could beat that safety on that route, and Jake just threw a perfect ball. And that was a big pass at that time in the game to get that completion, because really that they had just scored, and we needed to answer that score. We were able to answer that score and keep that momentum back.
Yeah, you mentioned it earlier, but you ran the football at the beginning of the ball game and led by a score of 21-0, and it seemed like you just flipped a switch and went to the passing game. Then Jacob Weaver was 6 of 6 for 187 yards in the first half.
Yeah, and you know that obviously it was. And we were able to do a lot of things. You know, our screen game was working well. You know, the one-on-one matchup stuff. You know, the slot fades. The you know misdirection throwbacks and. You know, I thought the O-line did a great job, too. You know, Jake wasn't even pressured last night. You know, we were able to. And I think they were sitting so heavy on the run, and their DNs were sitting so heavy on our quarterback, you know, read game, that they weren't rushing the passer, which really allowed us to sit back and throw some nice footballs. And, you know, our receivers did a great job of running routes and, you know, running our concept routes, running our quick routes. And catching the ball when they had the opportunity.
You know, we had seen them earlier in the season, and this Warrensburg Tiger football team had a very good quarterback in Eli Nappe, and a player that catches the football out of the backfield, runs routes out of the backfield, he works out of the slot position in that Shelby Pitsenbarger. He plays in the secondary on defense, he punts the ball, he runs back kickoffs and punts as well. Two very good players that I thought you did a good job of neutralizing last night.
Yeah, we did. You know, again, defensively, we had a great game plan. Coach Pitts and his staff put together a great game plan to make sure, you know, that we had the right calls based on their formations and their tendencies and when they're going to try to get their athletes the ball. Again, we put enough pressure on the quarterback to make him really uncomfortable, and we were sat on most of their run game. We were right there on our spots, I think just frustrated them, you know, most of the night offensively. If they had that little reverse play, which we almost knocked down in the backfield for a 5-yard loss, and they had a good run after that one, but really outside of that, they really didn't have much going offensively all night.
Any injuries from last night?
Well, obviously the cop injury is was weighing heavy on our hearts, and so he has an x-ray this morning, and we'll know the extent of that injury, but And then, you know, Sam Hinch has had a, we think just has a medial sprain. You know, he's a big part of our special teams and, you know, a backup safety. But other than that, we came out healthy. You know, we're going to see the boys this morning at 9 o'clock, and you know, we kind of check on their injuries and get them ice, and we'll watch films at 10 and lift weights and get them on home. But obviously, Dylan's such a huge part of our offensive and defensive line, so mm-hmm. we're just hoping and praying for good news there.
All right, you'll have the West Plains Zizzers. Now, you have the option of playing either Friday night or Saturday afternoon. What did you choose?
Well, our athletic director is going to reach out to them today. We're open to either. I think a lot of it, the routine of it would like us to stay on Friday nights because that's the routine. But I think there's weather and other things that might come into the equation. If both teams agree to play on Friday night, we can play on Friday night. But if one of them wants to play Saturday, then we need to play on Saturday. Looking at the long-range forecast, it looks like it might rain Friday. Saturday might be a better day to play. But, you know, I think there's some flexibility in that. I mean, my preference would be to stay on Friday night, to stay on the routine. But, you know, we'll wait and talk with West Plains today and see what they want to do and then make a decision. You know, that it's going to be the best weather, and they have almost a 3-hour drive up here too. So, you know, they're the ones that are traveling. So we'll be respectful of their wishes and hopefully make that decision today.
And Coach, that's an important point that you just made. It's both teams have to agree to a specific date, because just because you're the home team doesn't mean you say, well, we're playing Friday, you have to come up here.
That's correct. Okay. That's correct. It has to be a mutual agreement. I think the state has it on their schedule that is supposed to be Saturday at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
But both teams can agree to go Friday night. Like I said, you know, weather is always a changing factor, but, you know, for me, that would be a factor in making that decision too. You know, the temperature, the rain, other things like that. But hopefully we'll get that decision made soon.
All right, the Zizzers average 43 points a game on offense, giving up about 17.5 points a game on defense. You go right to the running back, 5'10", 200-pound senior Titus Seeley, going into the ball game last night, had over 1,700 yards rushing, a 9.5 yard per carry average and 22 TDs.
Yeah, I watched them about an hour this morning. Got up early, I wanted to get a head start on taking a look at them, and he is an explosive running back. You know, they employ some different defensive fronts, so that'll be a challenge. But offensively, they're multiple in their formations. They do a lot of motions, but the offense runs through their running back, and he is a hard runner. You see him just break tackle after tackle after tackle. So we're going to have to really be on point, and really get off blocks and secure, run our legs on tackles. And, you know, he's going to be a tough kid to take down. And the West Plains has been good for years. They've really built a powerful program down there. They're big. They're physical up front. They got hard running running backs, a quarterback that can really throw it. This will be our toughest challenge to date.
You know, Seeley had 274 yards rushing in just 9 carries against Waynesville, but Bolivar held him to 93 yards on the ground.
Yeah, Bolivar's a really good football team, and you know, right now that is West Plains' only loss is Bolivar. Bolivar was a really good football team, and I really felt, you know, last week I thought Bolivar was going to beat Warrensburg in that district semifinal game. Warrensburg played a great game and kind of upset them. But, you know, we'll go back and take a look at that Bolivar tape for sure and see how they contain that running back and try to learn something from their defensive plan.
Connor Lear, also a good running back for them with over 600 yards on the season. And I mentioned him from the standpoint of not only his stats on offense, but on defense. He, along with Seeley, the top two tacklers with over 100 each on the year.
Yeah, and that, you know, again, whether they're playing their three-front or their four-front, I mean, their linebackers are aggressive. They're downhill players, great tacklers. You know, it's just going to be a really tough football game. Looking forward to it, you know, hosting a quarterfinal game. And that's something we haven't done, you know, hosting a playoff game like that since 2013. So we're excited about it. We know it's going to be a really tough game on Friday or Saturday, whenever we end up playing it. And just looking forward to, you know, that playoff atmosphere.
Congratulations on the district title win last night. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right, Elias Crusaders head football coach Chris Inches. Again, last night they beat Warrensburg by a score of 49-14. Over at the Falcon Athletic Complex, a district title as well for the Blair Oaks Falcons as they defeat Centralia last night 60-14. Coach Ted LePage joins us after the break.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Now is the time to prepare the money you've saved in your 401k or deferred comp plan to work for you for the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Let Greg help make your retirement everything you imagined. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
UFOs, pandemics, hurricanes, even murder hornets. Could this be the most epic action thriller movie of all time?
No, it's just 2020, a good year to stay indoors. So let Beautiful Home Interiors help you make your home your happy place. They can help you plan and design the best flooring, window treatments, cabinets, and more. Leave 2020 at the door and make your interior superior. BeautifulHomeInteriors.com.
Hi, this is Ryan.
And Caitlin.
Of Bentledge Homes.
When you want the home with a shop, 5 bedrooms, a hosting kitchen, a finished basement.
In other words, you want the home that has it all.
The one-of-a-kind home you want is a custom home by Bentledge Homes.
But you're not alone. The list of custom home requests is growing all the time.
It's kind of like ordering a Tesla. If you want it next year, reserve it today.
Save your spot now. Your dream home begins with Bentledge.
BentledgeHomes.com.
Your car wants to look its best. The paint, the trim, the wheels, the tires, they want to show off in all of their sparkling glory. Let your car shine with the Quick Car Monthly Unlimited Wash Club. For $25 a month, you can let your car strut its stuff anytime you want. Welcome to the club. Join Quick Car's Monthly Unlimited Wash Club today. Quick Car. Quick, easy, and professional every time. In Jefferson City and Osage Beach.
Itty, bitty, little, disgusting, icky feet. 6 of them, skittering by your head while you sleep, nestling down against your skin and diving in for a bite. That's how bedbugs live, you know. Off of you. Bedbugs are like the vampires of the arthropods, drinking your blood while you sleep. Vampires. Except not like the sexy ones in those old-time movies. So it seems you have two choices. Burn every bed and pillow you own in a gigundous fire, or call your friend Steve.
I'm Steve with Steve's Pest Control. If you want your bed bugs removed, eradicated, or just plain old-fashioned dead, we're going to solve your pest problem. I guarantee it.
From the tiniest mites to the meanest moles, call Steve's Pest Control. Online at stevespestcontrol.com.
Now you got a friend in the pest control business, Steve's Pest Control.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
A district title win last night for the Blair Oaks Falcons. They beat Centralia by a score of 60-14. Joining us is Falcons head football coach Ted LePage. You beat a ball club that had only one loss on the season, a defense giving up less than 2 touchdowns a ball game. Congratulations on the district win.
Thanks, Kevin. Really good effort by our players, our coaches. It was an awesome win for us last night.
I have to tell you, I saw some of the highlights from the ball game last night, and you guys are putting together a highlight reel that's going to be a 2-hour-plus movie this year.
Well, I don't know about that. We've executed very well here down the stretch. Coach Briggs and Coach Cook and Coach Lennon-Brink on the offensive side are putting together a script to start the game, and the script's been really well executed by our players. They believe in what the coaches are telling them, and they're just going out and executing and playing at a high level. But last night, I really think our defense, when we started the game, we got that first score right off the bat and went out and got 3 and out. Coach Butler and Coach Terpstra, Coach Aliwan, and Coach Ferguson had just put together an unbelievable game plan. And, man, to shut those guys down and get 3 3-and-outs to start the game, the momentum just never got to their side. We got to see it a little bit in the second quarter. They came back and had some fight and got some 2 scores, and we got to see the real good side of it. But the way we took the energy away from them from the get-go was really astounding. And just hats off to our players for that.
You scored 24 seconds into the ball game, and basically we've talked about this a couple of times. Fans need to be in their seats and ready to go.
Well, we actually, Coach Briggs and I talked, and we put a set in that we really hadn't run most of the year, and we got a first play. We thought we really could get him on a run, and we did, and we got called for holding. And the second play was just right off the script. Coach Briggs called it, and we were just talking about it before I came on, that the underneath route, the first read was really open, and the second read was open, and he was looking at the first read, and I was looking at the second read, and we were like, where's he throwing it? Well, Jake's his third read, and Jake was behind him, and Dylan has that just innate ability to be able to go through his progression pretty fast, laid it out there perfectly for Jake, and he was behind the secondary, and it was over.
70-yard touchdown pass, as you mentioned, from Dylan Hare to Jake Closher, one of seven touchdown passes, I believe, last night for Dylan Hare.
I can honestly tell you that I did not have any conscious knowledge of that until Greg Jackson of News Tribune told me afterwards, and I was really astounded by that. What a tremendous accomplishment, not only for Dylan, but you have to look at also that Cale Wilson last night played both ways for us most of the game. We had a young man that was ill yesterday, so he didn't come to school, and we did a good job at the right tackle, playing the whole first at the right guard. Wyatt Bonnet at our center, left guard. Bryson Jeffries in our left tackle. Caden Helscher did an unbelievable job on a really good front seven against Centralia. Centralia was just tremendous all year on the defensive side. So those five guys really played their hearts out last night and really led us to victory.
Yeah, we talked about it just a few moments ago. That was the defense giving up less than two touchdowns a ball game, and you get 60 on them.
Sometimes things go right, and you learn in this game. You've got to just execute every play. And one of the things that our team is really good about is playing the next play. No matter if it's good or bad, let it go. Go to the next play. Make it your best. And I think that all starts with Dylan. Dylan is so level-headed. He never looks like he's too high. He never looks like he's too low. He's the same guy every snap. And that radiates through our whole offense. And you get Carson Pringer just that can break every – if Carter tries to tackle him, they just can't tackle him one-on-one. You get Jake just running down the field and just so precise on his routes and his catching the ball. Levi Haney came through for us big last night, caught a couple touchdown passes. Kobe Marble is always just consistent on the other side. We throw in now Zach Harrigan and Reed Dudenhafer on the offensive side, and that just adds more to it. But Jaden Purdy may be the secret to the success, as he accomplished over 100 yards rushing against an unbelievable rush defense last night. And it was just hard, churning yards, never stopped, just continued to run his feet and powered his way through those guys.
I think you had over 600 yards of total offense in the ball game, didn't you?
Well, I think you're accurate on that, but we're going to have to save some of that for next week, my man.
Led 26-0 at the end of the first quarter. In the second quarter, upped it to 33-0, led 33-14 at the half. Again, you take a look at the statistics, the seven touchdown passes by Dylan Hare last night. He continues to distribute the football. I mean, Levi Haney had a couple of touchdown receptions. We've talked about Jake Closher. Carson Pringer had a touchdown pass as well in the ball game for you.
Yes, and all of them contributed very well. Again, I think the one that probably stands out to me the most is Levi Haney on our second score of the game. We just ran a bubble screen out there to his side, and Jake and Carson led the way and are just so phenomenal at blocking. That's what goes probably unnoticed about those two, is how they block after somebody else has the ball, and they were able to clear the way for Levi, and Levi just walked to the end zone. So when you have receivers that are blocking for each other the way we are downfield, that really, really accelerates your offense.
All right, state quarterfinals. You will meet the Luther North Crusaders, ranked number one in the state in the latest poll in Class 3. They are 5-0 on the season. Didn't play their first game until October the 3rd. First question, Coach, playing Friday night or Saturday afternoon?
Saturday afternoon. Our seniors want to play Saturday afternoon. It's been a tradition in the quarters to play on Saturday, and our players wanted to keep that tradition alive. Luther North wanted to play Friday, and our players said, no, we're playing Saturday. So we told Mr. Felton, and Mr. Felton let him know that it'll be Saturday afternoon at Falcon Athletic Complex.
All right, so kickoff scheduled for what, 1 o'clock, right?
1 o'clock, yes, sir.
All right, tell me about the Crusaders' defense, because Travion Ford and Terrence Fuller are two forces to be reckoned with on defense for them.
They really are. They're two defensive ends. They let them kind of freelance a little bit, and most high schools you wouldn't allow that. The reason they let them freelance, they're just so freaky athletic. Oh my goodness, they're 6'5", and they're both about 240, and I think they're under 4'5", 4'6", the way they run, and they can just track things down. They're the guy that you say, no, 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 yes, 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 as a coach, because they may do something wrong, but they're able to make up for it athletically. They play a four front, and then they have two really big, heavy linebackers that will thump you. So they really try to take the middle away, and then they're so athletic in the back end, it's in it as far as throwing the ball, because they track the ball so well. They're just a very, very athletic and very disciplined football team.
Very good football team. 2 years ago, they were a very good football team. Came down here, and you beat them by a score of 48-21.
That was 2 years ago. This is this year. And that's one thing we've discussed with our players. Everybody talked about six district championships. Hey, it's your year. It's not, the tradition is great, but at this point in time, you either are going to continue the tradition, or you're going to look at tradition, and we want to continue this tradition, so we can't look at what's behind us right now. We can only look what's in front of us.
About 30 seconds before the end of our show, we've talked about their defense. What do they do best on offense?
Best offense, they run the football. They can throw it, but they're really well running team. They want to run the wing T, but they'll jump out and go spread and use their athletes, put them in space. Their quarterback distributes the ball well, so they can jump in and out of two different complex offenses.
Coach, congratulations on the district title. Good luck on Saturday against Luther North. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Blair Oaks Falcons head football coach Ted LePage. Again, they will meet Luther North. As Coach mentioned, kickoff is at 1 o'clock next Saturday at the Falcon Athletic Complex. Last night in Class 3 district title games, Kennett over St. Mary's. Cardinal Ritter beat St. Clair. It was Luther North over St. Francis Borgia 45-10. Blair Oaks beat Centralia 60-14. Buffalo shut out Mountain Grove 42-0. Cassville over Mount Vernon 35-13. Summit over Odessa 13-0. And it was Maryville 46, Richmond 14. See you next week on The Coaches Show.
News Radio 950, KWOS, and on FM at 104.5.